questions. But this one, as I said, is called Discovering the Name of Jesus. It's lesson 9, and it's the introduction to the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 15 and verse 14 tells us that God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. The name of Jesus identifies us to the world, does it not? Amen. It identifies us to fellow believers. It identifies us to ourselves, to our own local church and God's people. As we're going to look into some of the Old Testament scriptures here and the New Testament, have always been identified by his name. There are blessings that come when you know the name of the Lord. The section that says the name in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God established a covenant with the nation of Israel. God established a promise to them. If they would serve him, he promised to establish them. And notice the word established. When you first come to the Lord, and of course everybody here tonight, you've been around for a little while, so the Lord has established you, somewhat at least. But when you first come to God, your life may be a mess, and maybe somebody's listening to this CD that I'm making tonight, and this is down the road a little bit. And if you will serve the Lord, he will establish you. Amen. It says he will make you a holy people. He will bless you greatly and make you a witness of him to all the nations. It's the will of God that each one of us be a witness of Jesus Christ in our world. Amen. Praise God. He expressed this plan by identifying them. Now, depending on the Bible version that you're reading, you will find that the different Bibles will use different names for the Old Testament name of God. The King James and the New King James Version are going to use Jehovah, and some of the other Bibles will use the name Yahweh in the Hebrew text, and some versions will just say Lord in great big capital letters. The name Jehovah, now some people get all twisted and bent out of shape over this, and his name's not Yahweh, and his name's not Jehovah, his name's Yahweh. Jehovah was a German transliteration of the Hebrew word, Hebrew name of God. But really, it doesn't matter whether it's Jehovah, whether it's Yahweh in our understanding, or whether it's Lord, because Jesus is the saving name. Amen? People will get all, they'll get all caught up in this and get all upset over it when Jesus is the name, the saving name of God for the New Testament. So don't let it get you all worked up like that. Now, excuse me, Moses told of this in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to read the Amplified here. Deuteronomy chapter 28, the first 10 verses. If you will listen diligently to the voice of the Lord your God. How should we listen? Diligently. What's diligently mean? You're going to pay attention, you're going to follow what the Lord has to say, amen? Some people just listen, and it goes in one ear and out the other, and they do whatever they want to do. Well, this is not what the promise is talking about. The promise is talking about if you will listen, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord, if you will pay attention to what God is saying, and be watchful to do his commandments, of which I command you this day. The Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you heed the voice of the Lord your God. Now some of these blessings, of course, but notice what it says here in verse 3. It says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. So there's going to be blessings on people that are city dwellers like we are. None of us really have farms or anything like that. But some of the promises, if you will understand the nature of the promises, will apply to us. He said, blessed you're going to be in the city. Blessed you're going to be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. What's the fruit of your body? That's your children. Amen. I still say, my boys, my daughter is blessed. My children are blessed. Because of the relationship that my wife and I have with God. Amen. They may not understand them. My boys may not understand it. They may think they got where they are by their intelligence. But there's plenty of people that don't have opportunity in our land. And God will bless your children. God will bless your grandchildren. Amen. Because of the walk that you have with the Lord. So it's very important for us to walk with the Lord. We bring blessings upon our children. The fruit of our body is going to be blessed. The fruit of your ground. Now, we're not farmers here. And the fruit of your beasts, which would be the multiplication of your beasts. But we have businesses and we have jobs. And God will bless you in your job. Amen? If you have a business, God will bless you in your business. Come on, amen. It's going to happen if you will hearken diligently to the Lord. I remember in my job, I left my job, now I think it's about 7 or 8 years ago now, and I have absolutely no regrets about leaving my job. It was time. But I lived through many, many purgings. And in the day in which we live, you will find downsizings. Well, that was happening in GE before. Worked for General Electric, and that happened many times before that. And I always survived that. God always blessed me. Amen. They even threatened to fire me because I was a Christian. And the Lord took care of the one that threatened to fire me. So the Lord will bless your business. He will bless your job. He'll bless the increase of your cattle and the young of your flock. Of course, if we don't have any farmers here. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. In other words, the things that you have, he can bless your groceries. Even if you don't have a whole lot of money. I remember, who was that lady, honey? Remember back in Oklahoma, her husband was a trucker, left her without money. She took what she had, like the widow's mite. She gave it to the Lord. And she said that every time she reached into her closet, there was always food there, and she didn't understand how that was happening. I don't remember her name anymore, but what a testimony. She had a husband that was a total heathen and left her and would go on the road trucking, with leaving her with no money, no way to support the children. And God took care of her. Amen. The Lord, blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. And people don't understand this. I remember my father used to tell me, my father used to have crude ways of putting stuff, and he says, I don't understand what you step into, but you always seem to, something good always seems to be happening to you. That's because if you will serve the Lord, God is going to bless your life. Amen. And he went on to say, the Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. Now that's an interesting one, because I've lived long enough now to see how you can have people, and sometimes the Bible says that your enemies are going to be those in the house of the Lord. They're going to be people that come to church. And I've had some people come against me over the years and try to cause me troubles. Recently we had one just this last year that tried to cause us a lot of difficulty. But you know what? The Lord shall cause those that rise up against you to be defeated before your face. You just stand back sometimes and you watch what God does. You do the right things. Amen? You live for God honestly and uprightly. And the Lord is going to cause some things to come to pass. If someone comes against you and they're not righteous in what they're doing, God's going to take care of them. It's going to happen. So it may not happen right away, but God's going to take care of it. It says, they shall come against you one way, and they shall flee before you seven ways. The Lord, now here we go, the eighth verse. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouse. Now, where does the Bible tell us? It says, bring you all the tithes where? Into the storehouse. The modern day storehouse. We don't have barns anymore. But the modern day storehouse is the house of the Lord. So many people miss blessings because they sit out of the house of God. He's not going to bless you when you sit home. Amen? He's going to bless you in the house of the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Praise God. And he said that in all that you undertake, you know what that means? The Bible talks about that the works of our hands are going to be blessed. If we are honest with God and we live for the Lord and we heed there's nothing that's going to be cursed, that God is going to take care of us. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what's going to happen. You even look when it talks about tithing. He said, if you'll prove God, he will not let the fruit of your vine go down before its time. He's going to bless your job. Amen? It's what's going to happen. And he goes on and says, he will bless you in the land which the Lord God gives you. As I said a little bit earlier, it said that the Lord will establish you, and God establishes you. And he's going to bless you in the land if you'll serve him. He said in the ninth verse, and we're on page number one, the Lord will establish you as a people holy to himself. And he has sworn to you. God swears to us. And when God swears and says, this is what I'm going to do, you can expect God to fulfill it. Amen? And we're talking about discovering the name of Jesus, the blessings that come with the name. And we're going to get into that in more detail here. But he has sworn, and notice in the two big capital letters I put on the sheet, if, everybody say if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. The problem is that people sit there and they say, oh, I love Jesus, and they don't walk like the Lord wants them to walk. Then they wonder why that God's not fulfilling what he said he would do. Because God is a God of a covenant. And when you make a covenant with God, he is going to fulfill what he said he would do if we fulfill what... Sometimes he's merciful and will even bless us when we're not doing what we should do. But if there comes a time in your life and God is not doing what he promised that he would do, then you need to do it. There's a guy used to be called Zig Ziglar. He said you need to check up from the neck up. You need to check yourself. Amen. Are you being sincere with God? Are you being diligent with the Lord? Are you walking in his ways? If you walk in the ways of the Lord, the promise of God is that God is going to do these things which we're talking about in the scripture. He has to, otherwise he's a liar. And God is not a liar. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk his ways, all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by my name. And in the presence of the Lord, they shall be afraid of you. Amen. And people react to fear in different ways. Sometimes people react to fear by threatening you. Now, he said that, again, he would bless his people in the storehouse, and which is the church. He's going to bless everything that you undertake. He will establish you as a holy people. People will see that you're called by the name, and they will be afraid of you. Amen. This is not the only example, but throughout the Old Testament, God identifies his people to those that are called by his name. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are what? Called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven. But he also gives a little bit of a qualification there. If they turn from their wicked ways, it's easy even for a child of the Lord to get some ways that are not like God. So God's name now, and we're trying to focus on the name, represents his character, it represents power, authority, and the presence of the Lord. And God's name represents God himself. It is God in self-revelation of his name. The name in prophecy. The name of Jesus was prophesied to come in many scriptures in the Old Testament. We're just going to deal with just a couple of them. One of my favorite, let's just put it this way, not the clearest, but one of my favorite examples is found in Isaiah chapter 12. And in that day shall you say, and the King James says, Lord, I'm going to praise you. The Amplified here says, I'm going to give thanks to you, Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. Now, I don't think everybody here has been through some of the Bible studies that I've taught the eight previous to this, but I brought out in previous Bible studies how the name salvation or the word salvation in the Old Testament is in this example here is Yeshua. And Yeshua is the Hebrew name of Jesus. So you could say, behold, God is my Jesus. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord God is my strength. And the King James says, Lord Jehovah. And other versions say, Yahweh, the Lord God is my strength and my song. He has become my Jesus. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of Yeshua, or Jesus. And in that day you shall say, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Of course, what's that name? That name is Jesus. And by means of his name, declare and make known his deeds among the people of the earth, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Amen. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done excellent things, and let this be made known to all the earth. Cry out and shout joyfully, you women and inhabitants of the Zion. And Zion, of course, is a type of the church. And he tells us to cry out and shout joyfully. We ought to be free to praise the Lord in church. Amen. Praise the Lord. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Now, the day prophetically spoken of in verse 4 when he said, in that day you will say, is the age of Christ, the day of Christ. And of course, the name is Jesus. In verse 1 he said, in that day you were angry with me and you're turned away and you comfort me. This is a direct reference to John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. Verse 2, which said, behold, God is my salvation, speaks of God, the Jehovah Yahweh of the Old Testament becoming Jesus. And I found a little study verse here. If you look into the sheet here, it says, behold, God is my salvation and my Yeshua. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Yah, Jehovah Yahweh, is my strength and my song. He has also become my Yeshua. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. And from our past studies, we've seen how Yeshua is the name of Jesus in the New Testament. And the Scripture prophesies that this is going to be so. Verse 3, where he said, therefore, with joy shall you draw water from the wells of Yeshua, is a direct reference to John chapter 7 and verses 37 through 39, where Jesus said, in that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spoke he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This prophecy admonishes us to call upon his name, which has been lost in the Jewish culture many years ago. Even today, if you read Jewish writings, they never say the name of God. They've lost the ability to pronounce the name of God. They had so much respect, almost a superstitious respect. They didn't want to blaspheme the name of the Lord, so they don't use the name of God. And you will find, get on the internet, look it up. If they say God, it'll be G-D. They will also commonly use the word Hashem for God. You look it up and see, this is what happened. But that's not what the Lord wanted. He didn't want us to be afraid of his name, but he wanted us to call upon his name. We call upon his name today through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. In Isaiah 7, we find another prophecy of the name of the Lord. And therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We find this fulfillment in Matthew 1:23 through 25. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The Scripture said he would be called God with us. Emmanuel would be called God with us. And the name of God with us would be Jesus. Amen? Are you catching this part here? And this is important because later on you're going to see some of the blessings that come because you know the name of the Lord. People don't realize how much blessing and how much authority is in the name of Jesus. Sometimes they do like the seven sons of Sceva. Are you familiar with the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19? The Bible talks about certain Jewish vagabonds that used the name of Jesus, and they went up to a man that was devil-possessed. They told that man, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches, come out of him. And the devil said, he said, Jesus I know, And Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. Sometimes I really feel like that the reason we do not see much demonic activity right around here is because the devil's afraid of us. Amen. He don't want to come around where he's defeated. He'll try to work sneaky and all the rest of that. But you can have the authority of the name of Jesus, and that is backed up by your walk with God. Amen. Now, let's look a little further in the name of the New Testament. The New Testament church continued. Now, we talked about just very briefly, this is just a minor study on the name of the Lord in the Old Testament. But here, as we move to the New Testament, we find that the New Testament church continued to exalt God's name. Now, the only difference was that they had a greater revelation of God and His name. The God of the Old Testament, Yahweh, Jehovah, and again, we use those two words because if you read different versions of the Bible, some call if they'll capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's referring to these names. Some will say Yahweh, some will say Jehovah, which is the German transliteration. But again, it's not a big deal because Jesus is the saving name. Amen? However you want to refer, we don't get hung up on that. We get hung up on the New Testament part is where we get hung up on it. Now, so the God of the Old Testament, the Yahweh, the Jehovah, had manifested Himself, and that word manifested means to make known. And that's Scripture, is it not? What does 1 Timothy 3:16 say? Can anybody quote for me 1 Timothy 3:16? Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, and received up in the glory. It says that God, you know, people got a problem. They say, well, you know, you folks, you believe that Jesus is God. Well, that's what the Bible says. Amen? It says that God was received up in the... When was God received up in the glory? In the form of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives, when He said, as you see me leave, I'm going to come again. When did God preach to the Gentiles? God preached to the Gentiles in the form of Jesus Christ. When was God manifested in the flesh? God was manifested in the flesh in Jesus Christ. So, He became, manifested Himself in the flesh to be our Savior, and His name that He chose to come to us was Jesus, which literally means if you do a little bit of study, get out, you can even do it on the internet. The internet has some really wicked stuff on there, but it has some real good stuff on there too. You can do a little search and ask for a interlinear Bible on the internet, and you can come up with the name of Jesus on the interlinear, and you will find that the name of Jesus literally means Jehovah salvation, or Jehovah has become our salvation. You don't even have to buy all the books like we used to have to do. So easy these days just to get on there. It's such a time saving. When I first got my first computer Bible, I used to study maybe a minimum of four hours to preach, and I cut it in half back then. And now with the speed of computers, all the materials that I have, sometimes I can even move a little bit faster because you're not having to sit there and turn pages. You can just use all the keywords that you want. That's the wonderful thing about the place that we have. But people can also use the internet for evil. Now, because of all that we're talking about, Jesus is the only saving name. What does Acts 4 and 12 say? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You know what that leaves out? That leaves out Buddha. That leaves out Hare Krishna. That leaves out Kali. That leaves out Jehovah. Because Jesus is the name whereby we must be saved. Amen. Jesus, according to the, I believe it's the next scripture, Jesus is the highest name of God ever revealed. And of course, Jesus can be kind of a common thing, especially in some of the Spanish cultures. They'll name some of their kids Jesus and all the rest of that. And the devil will try to do that. He'll try to make the things of God very common. But it doesn't change the fact of what God did. Amen. And when you put your faith in the name of the Lord, in the name of God, that's when blessings come. Amen. It's when you have that revelation of who He is. The Scripture says, John 8:56, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. If it's, of course, most of your versions read, unless you believe that I am He. But, for example, in the King James, if you read that He, it's in italics. It's because that word was added by the translators. He is actually referring back to Exodus chapter 3, when the Lord went to Moses, and Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, I am that I am. Tell them the I am hath sent you. So in John chapter 8, when the Jews came, He said, unless you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins. The Scripture tells us also they took up stones to stone Him. They got very upset. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, wherefore God has also highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, one of these Bible studies, I'm going to bring out a little bit of studies on this. It almost looks like that he's talking about two separate people here, but a lot of times the Greek word is kai, and kai is translated in several different ways. And it talks about Jesus Christ, or God our Father, even Jesus Christ our Lord. So there's different ways that it's translated. Amen. But the Scripture tells us that the name of Jesus is above every name. Every name. So you name a name, it's above Lord, it's above God, it's above Father, it's above Satan. The name of Jesus is the highest name of God ever revealed. And Jesus is the name by which the New Testament church is identified. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. You've got to read this closely and understand what it's saying. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. By who? By Jesus Christ. The whole family is named under that name. When do we take that name on? We take that name on in baptism. When we baptize people, we call the name of Jesus over them. They're taking on the family name, much like when a person gets married. And they don't do it that much today. It's very getting kind of out of vogue. But when I got married, my wife took my name. Amen. Now, she puts it on the internet as Fouts Evanson, but the legal name is Millie Evanson. Amen. And we take that name on in water baptism. Amen. When the name of Jesus is invoked over us. And God united both Jews and Gentiles into His church, establishing a people of the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 15 that we are grafted into the vine. So the Scriptures here says in Acts 15 verses 14 through 17 that Simon Peter rehearsed how God first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. And with this prediction of the prophets agree, as it is written, after this will I come back, and I will rebuild the house of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up again, so that the... Why? Why? So that the rest of the men may seek the Lord, and that all the Gentiles upon whom my name has been invoked, whom my name has been called. This also shows us that the New Testament believers have the name of Jesus invoked over them. And this is what happens in water baptism. Amen. Now, what about the name? You go to page number 4. Jesus instructed His disciples to gather in His name. Now, we don't have many people here tonight, probably because of the cold weather and parking and the snow and all the rest of that. But the Scripture says, where two or three are gathered, where? In my name. We're gathered in Jesus' name to be in the house of the Lord. We get strength from this. So we're commanded to gather in His name. We are admonished to pray in His name. John chapter 14. We are admonished by Luke 24:47 to preach in Jesus' name. and to preach about Jesus' name. We cast out demons. We receive divine protection. We receive healings in His name. We've had people had the name of the Lord called over them and receive healings. I remember the story of my wife. She was being a bad girl, driving real fast in Oklahoma. And I remember when she came in, she was just thrilled to death over this. She was scared. I think you were scared to death, but you were also thrilled to death. In Oklahoma, they don't have roads like we have roads. They have gullies on the side of the roads. So if it rains real bad, it doesn't flood the roads. Well, the downside to that is if you go off the road, you're going to be in a big problem. And she was driving, I think, 65 or 70 miles an hour. Something happened. She started to go over, and the car began to turn over. Am I telling the story right? And you called on Jesus' name, Jesus. And all of a sudden, boom, the car went back down. Amen. I was looking. Somebody put a little video on the internet talking about a lady. If you look on my Facebook page, you'll see it there. And she was being robbed. The guy came in and pulled a gun on her. And they had a store video. And she said, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, you're going to turn around and get out of here." She did it a couple of times, and the guy was all flustered. He just turned around and left. Amen. I believe, Iris, her husband, went to hit her, honey. And she said, "I rebuke you in Jesus' name," and he fell backwards. So there's the name of the Lord is powerful. Amen. The scripture says in John 14 and 26 that we receive the Holy Ghost in His name. And the scripture tells us also and warns us that we would be reviled, we would be persecuted, we would be hated for His namesake. There's people that are going to get upset with you because you represent Jesus. We're finding that more and more in our society today. Amen. People get upset. It's what's going to happen. They're going to live. They'll end up perishing, biblically perishing. But I'm going to live eternally. Amen. Because I'm not going to be ashamed of the name of the Lord. Amen. After the New Testament church was founded on the day of Pentecost, the believers went forth. How? In the name of Jesus. They baptized by invoking the name of Jesus. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. No, in the name of Jesus Christ, invoking the name. Acts 22 and 16, when Paul was talking about his conversion, he said, Ananias and Sapphira, but a different Ananias, said, "Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord." The name of Jesus has power over sin. Amen. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. They prayed for the sick and received healings by invoking the name of Jesus. James 5:14, "If any among you are sick, let him call upon the elders of the church, and they'll pray over him." How? In the name of Jesus. That's what we do. We have prayer. Some people don't believe in having prayer. They think it's a little bit different, but you know what? I enjoy praying for people because I can see the blessing of the Lord come upon them. We're encouraged to pray over people in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of the Lord is powerful. They taught and preached everywhere in His name. Acts chapter 5. They called on His name. Acts chapter 9. They labored for His name. Revelations chapter 2. They held fast to His name. Revelations chapter 2. We'll see a little bit about that this Sunday, because I'm going to go back into the seven churches of Revelations. They refused to deny His name. Revelations chapter 3. Now, here's one that people just don't get today. They lived a holy life in order to bear witness of His name. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "But God's firm foundation stands, bearing the seal. The Lord knows who are His, those who are His. And let everybody that names the name of the Lord," what's the name of the Lord? Jesus, "depart from iniquity." I've talked many times about the difference between sin and iniquity. Sin is the action. Sin is when you go and steal something. Sin is when you go and commit the act of adultery. But iniquity is what causes you to steal. Iniquity is what causes you to commit adultery. Iniquity is that thing inside of you. And that's what we've got to overcome. We've got to depart from iniquity. Get rid of iniquity, you'll get rid of sin. Amen. So the Bible says, let everybody that names that name depart from iniquity. They were reproached for His name in 1 Peter 4:14. They risked their lives for His name, Acts chapter 15. When they persecuted, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. They did not enjoy being beat. They did not enjoy being in prison. They didn't enjoy deprivation, martyrdom, any more than we would do that. But they rejoiced that even their enemies identified them with Jesus. I'm happy when somebody says, "Oh, you're one of them." I'm like, "Yeah, I sure am." It doesn't bother me. Amen. Some people say, "Well, I've heard funny things about you, Pentecostal." I was like, "Yeah, we got ropes. We hang from the chandeliers and swing around, do all kinds of crazy stuff." You know, they think that they can intimidate me. They can't intimidate me because I'm a servant of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. But with all the persecutions that can arise because of the name, our last section looks at the blessings of the name of the Lord. And the Scripture says in Psalms 34 and verse 3 that God's people are encouraged to exalt His name. What does He say? "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." And this is one of the most powerful things about being in the house of the Lord, is when people get together and they begin to magnify the name of Jesus. And when we get out of our shells and we begin to worship the Lord, and there's a blessing that comes down. Sometimes we're too shy. Amen. Sometimes we're too preoccupied. That's our life, I guess. But we've got to learn to magnify the Lord. When we come into the house of the Lord, magnify Jesus. Amen. Magnify the Lord. God's people, like David, offer praises to His name. Psalms 113, the first three verses from the Amplified. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that what it says? "Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, from the east to the west, the name of the Lord is to be praised." Don't you understand that today we have church somewhere in this world every hour of the day? Because of the way the sun goes around the world, there are people that are praising the name of Jesus every day. Some people have church on Tuesday. Some people have church on Wednesday. Some people have church on Thursday. Some of the Spanish churches have church on Friday. Got a friend in Brooklyn that has church on Saturday. We have church on Sunday. People have Monday prayer. And it goes around the world. Every day, every hour of the day, somebody somewhere in this world is praising the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. God's people seek His name. Page number 5. God's people seek His name and they call upon His name. Psalms 105 verses 1 through 4 again from the Amplified. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." Do what? Call upon His name. Make known His doings among the people. If you've got a testimony, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelations, we become overcomers by giving out the word of our testimony. Tell them what Jesus' name has done for you. Don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to tell them that. Amen. He said, "Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Meditate and talk of all His marvelous deeds and devoutly praise Him. Glory in His holy name, and let the hearts of those who rejoice, who seek and require the Lord." Now notice, I really like the way the Amplified puts this. "Let the hearts of those who rejoice and seek and require the Lord." You know, some people get addicted to drugs. They say marijuana is not addictive. I beg to argue with them. You just try to get a guy that's been smoking pot for 20 years to quit smoking pot. He can't do it. But you know what? We can get that same kind of desire to be in the house of the Lord. What did David say? He said that if I could just be a doorkeeper. That's all I want to be. Just a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. We need to crave that presence of God in our life. Amen. And when we begin to crave that presence of God in our life, when we will praise Him and we will give Him glory in the church. Amen. Amen. Verse 4. "Seek and inquire and of and for the Lord and crave Him and His strength." Amen. This world can't give me what Jesus can give me. Amen. I crave the power of the Lord. I crave to see a move of God. Why else would we fast? Why else would we take 10 or 20 days, not eat food, seek the Lord, pray, fast? Because we've got a craving, and it's not for food. It's for the power of God. Amen. They treat His name as holy in the New Testament. We need to treat. Never use Jesus' name as a curse word. It's revered. It's sacred by the way we use it and also by the way we live and represent Jesus. Amen. Those who remember His name have an unfailing source of strength and protection. Psalms 20 and verse 7 says in the King James, some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but I'm going to trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. When I go forth in my life, I may not understand what's happening. It may look like I've got problems and difficulties, but I trust in Jesus' name that He's going to bring some things to pass. He's going to make some things happen. Proverbs 18 and verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runs into it and is safe. Amen. That's what my wife did when that car was flipping over. She ran into the name of the Lord, not just for men. Ladies can run into the name of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. God reserves His blessings for those that think upon His name. Malachi 3:16, those who fear the Lord talk often to one another, and the Lord listened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before Him of those who reverenced and worshiped and feared the Lord and thought upon it. He's got a book. You seeing that? God's got a book. He writes down, I see this one, and I really appreciate what they're doing. You catching that? Let me read that again. Let me read that one again. A book of remembrance was written before Him of those who reverenced and worshiply feared the Lord and thought upon His name. If you will do that, your name's in the book. Amen. It says it was written before Him. I don't know if it's the elders that are writing it, if it's the angels that are writing it, but there's a book that even going on right now that the Lord is recording in that book. A Bible study that Pastor Evanson taught, that he's talking about the name of the Lord. It's being written down right now according to the Scripture. Amen. How about you? Praise God. The faith, the commitment, and holiness of God's true people in the Old Testament can be summed up in the words of Micah chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, we will walk in the name of the Lord now and forever and ever. And that's my determination, is I am going to walk in Jesus' name. I've come too far to quit. I've come too far to go back now. Amen? You might as well either get in the church or get out of the church. But I want to stay in the church. Amen? Too many years, Brother Sabas, too many years for me to waste going back to this world. Not waste, but too many years I've lived to waste my rest of my life going back to this world. It's not worth it. Amen. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to fear His name. I'm going to walk in the name of the Lord forever and ever. So according to this Bible study, the Word of God indicates that the name of Jesus is very, very, very important. Think about Colossians 3:17. Whatsoever you do, no matter what it is, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon His person, giving praise to God the Father through Him. Well, why would it say something like that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. And if the Spirit of God dwells in Jesus Christ, this is why the Scripture says that. Praise God. So, is there any saving name scripturally besides Jesus? No. You can say Allah, like I've said. You can say Mohammed, whatever you want to say. Jesus is the name. Jesus is above Jehovah. It's above Yahweh. Amen. So this lesson was discovering the name of Jesus. And I know most of you already know this, but I wanted to bring this tonight. I was hoping a few more folks would be here. But, we, of course, we're making the CD tonight, so they'll end up listening to it. Amen. Brother Rick, why don't you come and finish us up tonight? God bless you for being in the house of the Lord.